And may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
This is from John chapter 3. And again, don't worry about my voice. I don't feel bad. It doesn't hurt. And I probably cursed myself because I said I like the way it sounds. And I may be like this the rest of my life. But it doesn't bother me any. This is verse 31 of chapter 3. Now, this is at a time in the life of Christ where he's very popular. This is before the turning, before his unpopularity, and people were seeking to kill him. And so John the Baptist's ministry is at its height, and then people are beginning to turn to Christ. They're even leaving John as John's disciples, and Jesus' popularity is soaring. It says in verse 31, "He who comes from above is above all, and he who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. What he has seen and heard, and of that which he bears witness, there are no men, there are those who don't receive his witness, but he who has received his witness has set this seal to this, that God is real. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For he does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands." It's an amazing passage of Scripture because it says twice that he who is from above is above all. In John chapter 8, in defining the difference between his life and his ministry as the Son of Man and the life of the Jews, the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Jesus said their life is from above, below. And everything that they do, everything that they say, can be explained in terms of humanity, human willpower, human personality, and human intellect. But me, Jesus is saying, the things that I do can only be explained by the life of the Holy Spirit. It has a supernatural quality to it. He called it eternal life. Eternal life is not just something that when you become a Christian that you get, that is sort of your ticket to live forever. Everybody lives forever, either in hell or in heaven. When the Scripture talks about eternal life, the best description of eternal life is John 10:10. Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Eternal life is a quality of life that lasts forever, that is heavenly in nature, supernatural in nature. You with me? And so it says here about Jesus, but it's also Jesus' invitation to all of us is to follow him. "As the Father sent me," Jesus said, "so send I you." To live in the quality, if you're a born-again believer, you possess eternal life. So you have all the things you need in the Holy Spirit to live a quality of life that's heavenly, that's supernatural by nature. And so it says that he who is from above is above all things. In other words, if you're living in the reality of life that's from above, then you have authority and you have influence over all things. You're not a victim. You're called to be an overcomer. But the interesting thing he says about this, he says, but Jesus, his example is that when he bore witness of what he saw and heard, in other words, out of his relationship with the Father, as he was hearing the Father's voice, sensing what the Father wanted to do, and when Jesus would communicate that, it says there were many who didn't listen, but the ones who did hear him, they were able to say when he got through, "God is real. God just showed up." And then he explains it in verse 34, "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he does not give the Spirit by measure. And again, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. So Jesus carried in him, as the Son of Man, eternal life, the life of heaven, because of the Holy Spirit's activity. And whenever Jesus would speak the things of the Father, Jesus said he only did those things he saw the Father doing, and he only said those things he heard the Father saying, and in union, because of his surrender to his Father's life, when Jesus spoke what the Father was saying, it released the Holy Spirit. Interesting that he says it this way, "For he whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure." What's that got to do with anything? Because when I speak the word of the Lord, the Holy Spirit's released without measure, and God shows up. It's really simple. And then there's two examples of it in John chapter 4. Jesus shows up, and we won't go through the whole story, but here's this one woman who's been married 5 times. She's now living with a man. She's the moral and social outcast of this entire area. And yet there's something religious about it, or something about her that's still concerned about the things of God. And in the middle of the day, when nobody else was around, when it was so hot nobody else would come to get their water, she would go by herself because she was an outcast. She would go by herself in the middle of the day and draw water from Jacob's well. And when she goes there to get water, Jesus is waiting on her. And then Jesus asks her this question. He says, "Well, would you give me a drink?" There's this conversation. And then eventually Jesus exposes, not in condemnation, but just the issues of her heart. He tells her to go get her husband. She said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said, "You've spoken truly, because you've had 5 husbands. And the one that you're living with now is not your husband." And then she says, "I perceive that you're a prophet." And then she begins to ask him some spiritual questions. "Well, we Samaritans believe you should worship here, but you Jews believe you should worship in Jerusalem. Which one is it?" And Jesus said, "Either one of those are irrelevant. What God's looking for are people who will love him in spirit and truth. People who will love him with all their heart will be true worshipers, who have a true revelation of who he is, how good he is, how wonderful he is, and will love him with all their heart." And the Lord changed her life. Jesus said, "If you'll drink the water I give, the goodness of God, the kindness of God, the love of God, you'll never thirst again. You've been thirsting all your life for your needs to get met in relationship, for the love that you've been longing for your heart to be satisfied, and it never satisfied you. But I alone can satisfy you." And so Jesus, what did he do? He's in a situation, and he simply released the word of the Lord to her. He just spoke into her life that he offered living water. And it released, it carried the Holy Spirit. And she was transformed into a true worshiper. And then the rest of the story is that this one woman who was such an outcast that she would go by herself in the heat of the day to draw water. Everybody else would go early in the morning or late in the evening when it was not hot. This woman goes into Sychar, the city, and tells all these people who knew who she was. They weren't even speaking to her. You weren't allowed to speak to somebody like that. And she tells him, "I just met a man who told me everything about me. I believe he could be the Messiah." And they all come and encounter Christ, and the whole city comes into revival. Why? Because one woman who had seen and heard for herself went and once again spoke the word of the Lord to some people, and it released the Holy Spirit. And they saw God to be real too. Isn't that interesting how the kingdom works? So God creates opportunities for us to be with people, and all we have to do is open our mouth and speak what we've seen and what we've heard, and that witness carries, an anointing of the Holy Spirit that can change their lives. It brings the kingdom into them. They're able to step back and go, God is real, just because we spoke a thing in their heart. It's not real complicated. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.